Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Corey Pons is back at quarterback.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Welcome to the 13th episode of Something's Brewing. How's everybody doing? Producer Dan.
Yes.
How you been, buddy?
I wish everybody could see your face.
Oh, man.
You're so happy right now.
You want to know why I'm so happy? Because even though we're a little late on getting out the 13th episode, which lucky 13.
Oh, yeah. I guess it was.
That's probably why we didn't do that. Now that I realize there was a reason why we didn't do that.
It all works out in the end, doesn't it?
But the real reason is because I had a Super Bowl sandwich.
Yeah.
That was even better than the Detroit sandwich, which we're going to get to. But before we start.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk about our sponsor for episode number 13, which is Cruise for Congress's Exploratory Committee. We'll hit on this a little bit later and talk a little bit more, but a friend of mine running for Congress and very excited to share a little bit more about him.
Awesome.
And our relationship towards the end of the show. So, like I said, lots to talk about this week.
I can't wait to hear
You know, I don't know how much actual football analysis we're going to get to because, like I said, this was a Super Bowl sandwich. But before we do that, remember last week I said I was going to go to the UCLA basketball game for the first time against Arizona, and you were supposed to come with me.
Yeah, I remember that.
So I do have to share with everybody that I disinvited Dan.
Yeah.
Because I didn't expect my wife to. I did the courtesy invite to my wife, and she said, "Yeah, I'd love to go.
That'd be great."
So I got a babysitter. What was I going to say? No, I'm sorry. Right. So, and we had a fantastic time. We actually went with her brother and my sister-in-law. Had a fantastic time, but we had unbelievable seats. But remember, I said we got these VIP wristbands. So there's a bar underneath Pauley Pavilion that you don't get to go to unless you donate enough money to the school.
Oh, okay.
So we ended up hanging out, watching the whole game practically on the TV in the VIP
lounge.
Because
you were downstairs in the
And it turns out we actually smoked Arizona, a huge basketball school, and I'm thinking that the UCLA Bruins basketball team should invite me to pretty much every game from now on.
Is that right?
You're
the lucky charm.
I don't see any reason why I wasn't. So a shout out to the Bruins hoops team for a fantastic, fantastic victory. And then, you know, I got to tell you, I had almost a little bit of a college moment. By the way, I don't know where did you go to school, Dan? I forget.
Syracuse.
Syracuse.
Yeah.
Up in upstate New York.
Up in upstate New York.
The Orangemen?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
What was that like?
Freezing cold. Freezing cold.
Just like going to school in LA?
Just like it, yeah, except not at all. Syracuse was great. I lived right across from the Carrier Dome for 2 years.
Yeah, I remember watching that place thinking that it might fall down.
Yeah, exactly. We were waiting. It never did.
So you remember what it was like being in college. So
vaguely,
my point is, my wife decided to go home early to relieve the babysitter. So I hung out with her brother, and his wife, and went to one of the old college bars that I used to, spend some time in back in college.
Mm.
And I was having flashbacks. It was so interesting and so cool. I had a fantastic time at the old Q's. For those of you that are living in the LA area,
wait a minute, have I been there before? Is that on Pico?
No, it's on Wilshire, but it's the old billiards club. Q's for like cue sticks,
right. Yeah.
And although
I think I've been there, I just don't know where.
Past pretty much, 3 p.m., I've never seen anybody play pool.
Yeah.
Sometimes there isn't, there's like the guy that's super cool.
Yeah.
They're trying to act like he's super cool.
Yeah.
And there's people everywhere. But then
if you miss the hustler.
Yeah. Paul Newman just showed up, right?
Yeah.
But then you watch him. If you watch him for a few shots, you think, okay, pretty good. But then he misses one shot and you think this guy sucks and you move on.
And they go,
right? So don't do that unless you're a professional pool player. Note to self and note to anyone that wants to try and play pool in a crowded bar. But so that was Saturday. So you know me, I like to lay out the timeline. Then Sunday, wake up, and I was trying to do a little secretive rendezvous with a closet company that was going to come in and redo my wife's closets for a Valentine's Day present. Except I couldn't get her out of the house.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you have a secret rendezvous in your
home? Well, I was trying to get her. Why don't you take the kids to the park? She's like, well, where are you going to do? I'm going to work.
I'm going to
send some emails from the house, or I'm going to pick up a little bit. I don't know. So I couldn't get away with it. But I actually realized it was a better idea, because the last thing you want to do is do something like that for your wife and not have it the way that it's supposed to be. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So it actually worked out in my favor. I got a whole bunch of kudos because it's not going in until Valentine's Day. They're putting it in on Valentine's Day.
Oh.
And she got to design it.
Aha.
And it worked out.
And that's the way it's supposed to be.
But I thought it was going to be cool to be a little bit of a surprise. But,
right.
Surprise, we're pregnant. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
I'm just joking. So, but... my point of bringing that story up is to slightly humble brag, because if you're listening and you didn't get your wife or girlfriend new closets for Valentine's Day, then loser.
Right. nice.
We should start our own organizational franchise. And I listen to him. I hear him on the radio. Holy shit. I had to take out a loan to pay for this thing.
For the closets?
Yeah. I got 50% off.
Now, I know you have every channel ever. Do you watch have you watched that Maria Kondo show on Netflix?
No, not
yet. She's the little Japanese lady that she makes you throw out all your stuff, but she says
I'm going to watch that.
Cutest little thing.
Speaking of Netflix, have you watched the Fire Festival documentary yet?
Greatest thing I've ever seen.
Holy cow.
What a cluster F. Oh my goodness.
I felt similar to watching the R. Kelly documentary.
I still haven't seen that.
So the R. Kelly documentary made your jaw drop the whole time. And though you wanted to turn it off, you couldn't stop watching it because you couldn't believe the things that had happened, and you believed everything that everyone was saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a similar concept, as you watch the Fyre Festival, you think, oh my God. God, this little mini Bernie Madoff was. I loved it. It was like it's like watching a train wreck, right?
Absolutely.
I know it sucks. People died and the train wreck, but that was awesome to watch.
Great wreck.
Great wreck.
Oh. Well, and did you hear that the accountant guy or the producer guy, whatever that guy, is going to get his own TV show? The guy that's willing to the water?
Oh,
he's going to get his own TV show.
And the fact that he started telling that story about how he was literally prepared to give one of the Bahamian guys, the Bahamian customs guys, a blowjob so that he could get the water in.
Yeah.
And he
was ready for it.
Yeah. If you haven't watched but trust me, that comment didn't ruin it. Okay.
Oh yeah. No, there's no,
but you'll know what I mean when you watch that part, because you can't believe he's about to say what he's going to say. And he full on says it.
Right. Yeah. You think he's going to be like, I can't.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And anyway, so sorry, we got in a little Netflix
tangent there,
but that's popular now.
What is?
Netflix.
Netflix is slightly popular.
Apparently.
Yes, yes, I've heard that.
Apparently. Apparently.
It's all I do all day.
By the way, have you seen the Apparently Kid on YouTube?
No.
Some people have. So it's this little kid from Seattle. He made it onto Ellen twice because he became so famous on YouTube. And he talks about he's getting interviewed at a Seattle fair. And the local news in this, I mean, he's got to be 5 or 6 years old. And he's a little redhead, you know, chubby little, great little looking little kid. He's there with his grandparents. And they say, you know, he takes the microphone. They're asking him how it's going. Like, how's your time here at the fair? And he grabs the microphone. He goes, well, apparently my grandpa brought me to the fair because apparently there's some roller coasters that apparently I can ride. And apparently my grandpa wants me to take here because sometimes apparently he doesn't get to watch the Powerball. He became so famous that he went on Ellen twice.
Nice.
Anyway, enough about the tangents.
No more tangents. Stop it.
So back to me.
Right. That's what we're here for, Corey.
We're here for us.
We want to hear about Super Bowl.
There's no I in team. That's but true. There isn't me. Yeah. Okay. So I was supposed to go to the Super Bowl early. I think I might have mentioned that last week, to go to the press, the Tuesday sort of press situation.
Yes.
And I had to cancel that part of it because my wife had a work trip. So, taking one for the team, happy, you know, wife, happy life, as most of us know if you're married. But I got to give a shout out to the Believe Network, you know, that we're on because had some things set up fantastic. I was going to get to go on a bunch of radio shows and promote Something's Brewing.
Mm.
And word is that next year is going to be even better. So I'm still excited about that.
All right.
So instead of going on Tuesday, I spoke about this. I ended up going to Phoenix on Thursday, had a work meeting in the morning.
Oh, right. For the Garbage Man. What was that again?
The Waste Management Open.
Yes, the Garbage Man
Golf Tournament, which, Dan, you are not a fan of sports at all, but if you are a fan of golf, if you're a golf purist, you hate this venue because it's the Kentucky Derby at a golf course, okay, a professional tournament.
Yeah.
But it is literally, you have guys and girls dressing like they're at the Kentucky Derby. But it's at a golf course. The whole thing lasts for, literally 5+ days. There's opening rounds on Tuesday. But the actual tournament lasts Thursday to Sunday.
Wow.
But, you know, big shout out to the Thunderbirds who put on the tournament. Great friend of mine that I grew up with. It finally became a Thunderbird. And have you ever heard of the Thunderbirds?
It was a TV show in the 70s with the marionettes
exactly.
or something, right?
Yeah. Well, the Thunderbirds are a big deal in Phoenix. So
I would call them
almost the modern day Illuminati.
Oh, really?
But in Arizona. But they do a fantastic job for philanthropy. They raised $60 million this year.
No.
So they put on the tournament.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, yeah. So big shout out to Tally CM for all the help. But if you've never been, for those of you that are listening, that's got to be a bucket list. They put on the 16th hole, they have almost like a gladiator style arena that covers a par 3. And I know you don't know what a par 3 is, but that means it's a short.
Yeah, sure.
It's a short golf hole.
Yeah.
They cover the whole thing, 360. 3 years ago when I was there, Phil Mickelson hit a beautiful shot and he's walking down the fairway. Somebody chucked a football from the stands to him. He caught it and chucked it back.
What?
Yeah, it's like a Happy Gilmore scenario.
My God.
But it was so cool. I had a great time. Ricky Fowler ended up winning it, who I'm a fan of his because I love the way he dresses. And I still can't get over the fact that there's professional golfers that weigh 40% less than me or shorter than me and hit the ball 40% longer than me.
Mm-hmm.
But before he won, I was only there one night. So I rolled from the golf course to this place called the Bird's Nest. Okay. Had a great time at the golf course. Shout out to my carrier reps that I was hanging with. Shout out to the folks from Chicago that we were talking to. I think we're going to do a good deal with them down the road, but roll to this place called the Bird's Nest. So it basically takes this unbelievable event and a golf course,
mm-hmm.
professional golfers. And then at night for literally 4 nights straight, they have huge musical guests and an indoor you know, tented area, and it's awesome.
Wow.
So the night I was there was Michael Ray. So it was a country night. Michael Ray, Lee Bryce, and Jake Owen. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you've never heard of any of them.
Well, I know about as much about country music as I do about sports.
And for those who are listening,
I've heard of Garth Brooks.
Dan drives a hatchback Mazda.
Yes.
Not
macho.
A truck. Okay.
Not macho.
I've never seen him in cowboy boots, nor do I think they make them in his size.
No, they don't. Well, they do. They do for children.
For children.
For little cowboys. I was a cowboy when I was 5.
So my point of bringing up the concert story is because my boys from the Thunderbirds get me backstage. So I'm backstage for the Jake Owen. He's the headliner.
Okay.
But that's on Thursday night. So Friday night was going to be Snoop Dogg and Chainsmokers.
I've seen
both of them multiple times. Had some great Snoop Dogg stories that we'll get to from the past. Mm. But I'm also foreshadowing of the Super Bowl smash. So didn't get to see Snoop Dogg, but because it's such a big event, and you know the concert gets out a little bit late, I needed to take a flight to Atlanta at like 5:30 in the morning, and the place we were staying was practically heavily guarded in this condo complex, very difficult to find. So I just told the Uber driver, I said, like, you know, take me to the airport, right? I'll just, you know, make sure. I can't miss. Well, yeah, I had my shit together completely. But one thing, I didn't want to go to sleep and wake up at 7.
Right.
You know.
Oops.
And miss the flight to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So just to make it safe, I slept outside of security.
Seriously?
Yeah, and just to make sure.
At the airport. At the airport.
I mean, for, you know, 5 or 6 hours, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
By the time they opened it up, then I got to go in. I had a nice breakfast, and I leaned back. I put my hands behind my head, and I thought, here we go, right?
Yeah, we're living.
So next thing you know, we land in Atlanta. And have you been to Atlanta Airport ever?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Do you know it's the largest airport in the United States?
Absolutely not.
Okay, it is.
Really?
And it feels... It could be the largest airport in the world. I don't know, but it certainly is the largest airport in the United States, and it is unbelievable.
I would have guessed O'Hare.
It's bigger than O'Hare.
Wow.
So Friday, get in, get settled, get set up in the hotel and everything. Check out, have a great, great dinner, great steak place. And I see a guy that's on the NBC LA newscast, right? It's one of the sports guys from NBC LA.
Okay.
And he's got his NBC Sports LA like pullover on.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, where are you?
At 9:30 at the coolest steak place in Atlanta.
Okay.
On the first Friday night and I thought to myself, and I almost went over and said hello, you know, hey, you know, I don't, you know, maybe you remember me. I used to be kind of a big deal, and now we have a hit podcast, but I couldn't bring myself to do it because if I did, I would have said to him, you know, putting that NBC Sports LA shirt on when everyone else is dressed like they're going out on Friday night would be like I wore my college jersey into this place, hoping that someone would talk to me.
What are you thinking, dude?
So I couldn't
bring yourself
to
not
say that. So I'm prefacing that by, you know, because there's going to be a whole shitload of humble brags that's coming out here in the next 20, 30 minutes, just so that we're on the same page. But that was the first one where I was standing next to a quote-unquote celebrity that at that moment I also – you could tell he just wanted people to know who he was and talk to him. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to give you that right now.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you another story about that later where I had an awkward conversation with a 10 times more famous person.
Oh, yeah.
Where it just felt awkward.
Yeah.
You know, you remember when we talked about the Kobe Bryant thing? I think that was last week.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
You know, in certain instances, you just got to just be a little normal. I don't care how famous you are. I don't care how rich you are.
But some people just can't do that, though.
Some people can, but I feel like statistically, once you become over the top famous type of thing, mm-hmm. especially with now in social media, it's tough to be normal at all.
Yeah.
But we'll get to more about that later. But so anyway, end of Friday night, you know, get to bed early, as everybody knows that I would do. Wake up on Saturday, go to and the Andretti Racing experience. So. Michael Andretti, the Andretti family, mm-hmm. huge in the racing business, mm-hmm. right?
Mario.
Exactly. I think they're Italian.
He is the Mario of Mario Kart.
I think they're Spanish. I think they're Mexican. Yeah. I'm joking. So, huge deal. Basically, Dave and Buster's for adults. Full on race carts, going fast.
Oh, really?
You have to sign waivers. You could get hurt.
Nice.
Have a great time. Then they have bowling. Like a full-on...
At Andretti's?
Yeah, light-up bowling. And then you actually have some stuff for kids, too, because you have to bring your kids, right? You got to bring them. You got to bring them. So I had a great time there. And then I went off from the one group that I was with and went to the Wheels Up party. So Wheels Up is a private jet company where you pay a retainer, and now you have access to private aircraft that you can... Mm. And I'm only explaining it to you
because everybody that listens to the show would know.
Probably.
But it sounds like a timeshare of a...
Basically,
right?
Yeah. Like a membership then sure. slash timeshare slash overpaying for right. private air travel.
For a Cessna or whatever, yeah.
yeah. Or all the way up to something better.
Yeah.
But here's my the whole point of this is there's a lot of things that I could feel like was coming together from a universe standpoint, mm-hmm. you know, and we talk about, we'll talk again about the end, you know, the motivational and the look forward, but there were so many things happening. And as soon as I walk into the Wheels Up party, I run into one of the co-founders that I had met 3 years ago in a hot tub at Trump National in Florida.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're meeting, okay.
Just run.
I don't want to meet anyone in a
And
hot
it's
tub,
a huge packed party. He's the first guy I run
seriously.
Into. I'm like, hey, it's me. He's like, hey, I'm glad you made it. Go over here. We're about to have Run DMC perform.
Oh.
So Run DMC is like, there was a couple of lead up groups, and you know, we had the Scott Van Pelt, Rich Eisen, Mike Tirico. They all did like some interviews with some JJ Watt, Russell Wilson, literally shook Evander Holyfield's hand. And
no.
The boxer?
No.
And you and our listeners
I like how
know.
You're saying the boxer. His
you
was actually
know him?
The first name I recognize since you said Run DMC. There was a whole big gang in there that I don't know what you're talking yeah. about. But yeah, I am very aware of Evander Holyfield.
So, but and then for a
yeah,
reminder.
What is with you and
boxers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how
pugilists.
What is ever since we started Something's Brewing, I've run into three of the most famous boxers on
Seriously.
The ever. I think that's kind of cool.
I think that's.
It's kind of
really,
random.
Yeah. You're going to run into Mike Tyson on the way home tonight.
I hope so. I'm trying to go to his ranch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, I just saw that billboard.
Does he have
the Tyson Ranch?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it is.
I don't know. I'm
I think
intrigued.
It's something for cannabis. Anyway, so I had a great, great conversation with Matt Hasselbeck. He's a you know, ex-NFL quarterback. He and I, that was my best conversation where he and I had a brief moment where you could tell, even though I never played quarterback in the NFL, but you know, he at least knew who I was. And I was
sure.
humbly you know, telling him how awesome he is and playing and then on TV. And we had a great moment. And again, like it just like felt great, right? Like the whole feeling. So then we're backstage again at Run DMC. So
what?
To recap, so in 48 hours, backstage at Jake Owen, backstage
right.
at Run DMC.
And what are you doing backstage?
There was
just
like
this listening
whole,
and
did this whole VIP area because
wow.
Our friends married into one of the owners of an NFL team, and we were just hanging out
oh
with
my.
Him. Yeah, I mean, he's you know, he didn't just marry in, like it was it's awesome, and he's a fantastic person. But so we had a great time then. So then we go back and get cleaned up.
So this isn't even nighttime yet.
No, it's still daytime.
This is still daytime?
It was still daytime in like this industrial setting.
Really?
Yeah, it was like a rundown. It was they manufactured widgets and it was out of business.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
It was really cool. And another one of those step and repeats. Remember when I talked about the Sports Illustrated where I took the picture
oh,
from
yeah.
step and repeat?
Yeah.
I had another step and repeat moment.
Perfect.
No one took any pictures of me.
Damn.
But you better believe I did. And in another picture, by the way, which was awesome, we're going to put it up on the website. They had this beautiful painting. I don't know. It was like a famous artist. I don't remember who he was. Beautiful painting of Bill Belichick, the head coach of the Patriots that was playing in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
In case you were wondering.
I think I've heard of him.
So, all right. So moving on.
His name was mentioned on TV last Sunday.
Yes. Yeah. Six Super Bowls, mm-hmm. right? Superstar.
Yeah.
Lots of personality. All right, so that's the day. Go get cleaned up, have a nice dinner, with my hosts, and then roll out for Saturday night, hook up with some folks I know from Chicago. And I reach out to one of my, you know, friends and clients, and he's like, "Hey, you got to come meet us at this crazy party. It, you know, it's off the chains. All you got to do, it's late and it's packed, but all you got to do is use this name when you get to the front VIP area."
Oh, so he gives you like
he a gives name? Me a name, you know, okay. Like Kaiser Sose.
Right? Okay, right.
So sure. I walk to the front and I say Kaiser Sose, and my friend and I get walked. And when I say Kaiser Sose, mm-hmm. this nice girl gets up and is like, "Oh, okay," and walks us through this.
So she knows
Kaiser Sose.
She knows the response to Kaiser Sose.
Right, right. Okay. So walks us past all these people, like famous people that have tables that are going to are watching, and I don't even know who's playing yet. There's a musical act.
I see. Gotcha.
I don't.
And you recognize these famous people?
Yeah, like
these are like faces you know, that you're like, yeah, oh yeah,
B, you know, C plus to A minus.
Wow,
people, right? Yeah. Like nobody, no A listers, C plus to B plus, no A listers.
But people that you clearly are recognizing.
Oh yeah, like from X Y Z, right? Sure, you're like, sure. Oh, I remember, blah 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 blah.
Right.
Walk past all those people, crowded, security's walking us. They get us, walk us to the stage. Okay.
Okay.
And I finally realize who's performing. Who was it? Snoop Dogg. I'm 15 feet away from Snoop.
And what is it with you and Snoop?
And I was this close to yelling, "Hey, Snoop,
right.
I just missed you in Phoenix, but guess what? I made it here. Hey, buddy, I'm here."
Nice. Yeah. Now, hold on. I want to ask you about a word that you just used. You didn't say backstage.
On stage.
You said on stage.
On stage.
On stage.
Mm-hmm.
You're on stage.
I swear to God.
Why are you on the stage?
Because Kaiser Sose owns
Atlanta.
Apparently.
Wow.
And a shout out to my man.
So you say Kaiser Sose.
Brandon, too.
And now you're on stage with Snoop?
Yep. So then it gets better. So hold on, it gets better.
Oh, my God.
So
no, it can't. What are you talking about?
It gets
about?
Better. It gets no. better. So no. then Urban Meyer comes in.
Okay.
And he comes into our area. And Urban Meyer is one of the greatest college football coaches of all time. Retired this year, Ohio State's coach, Florida's coach, won multiple national championships, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, and my buddy's like, "Urban, you come here and say no."
So, wait, Urban is on stage with Snoop Dogg now?
Yeah. So he comes in after me, though. Okay. So then
this story's true.
Yes. I'm leaving out plenty.
Okay. I know that's the scary yeah. listeners. That is the actual scary thing. Stop. Is that these are yeah. wildly edited down from what really happened.
Exactly.
Okay, so hold on. Urban Meyer are on stage with Kaiser Sose.
No, but you couldn't see us. There was enough there was about 10 people between Snoop and then us. We had this little table area. But we're still elevated looking at the people.
Yeah.
You'll see it on the website. Okay. Back to your point. You want proof? It's gonna go up.
It's all right, exactly.
So I have a full on nice 10-minute conversation with Urban Meyer about playing college football, and he was one of the nicest guys on the planet, asking me legitimate questions, because at this point I've had one-on-one conversations for anywhere from 5 seconds with some of these people that I've mentioned to, you know, 10 minutes at the most.
Right.
And some of them were to my point. I wanted to be like, "Hey, are you looking at me or are you looking at somebody behind
right,
me?"
Cause right. Because there's clearly, right, right.
Like, just can you give me 5 seconds of your attention? Because I'm not asking for an autograph. And last I checked, I was famous earlier than you were. I'm kidding. Certainly not famous now, but, but let's be like, come on, right? Like no one ever showed up to watch you host an ESPN thing. There was never 100,000 people taping your show.
Right, right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So just give me a little more fucking respect.
Give me something.
Anyway, Urban Meyer did, and I appreciated that.
That's great.
And it made me feel really, really good. Yeah. Really, really good.
Yeah.
So another crazy story. So the guy that that got me in through Kaiser Sose ended up going to Florida and ran into Urban Meyer in Florida 2 days later.
Really?
Having dinner in Florida. Yeah. So that you follow me on some of this crazy universe shit that's happening here? Crazy. All right. So that's Saturday night. Sunday rolls around. It's Super Bowl Sunday in Atlanta, the capital of the South.
Oh, yeah.
Packed to the brims, the whole city. And my good buddy from Chicago gets us tailgate tickets to the NFL, the official NFL pregame party. It's in a giant convention center. If you bought them, they're like $1,000 a ticket, right? Gets us tickets. We roll into this thing. There was two famous acts performing, dancers, like, you know, professional dancers, like, you know, doing jazz and lyrical and tap.
Seriously.
Like, you know, like your daughter would do. And, you know, beautiful food. You know, the owners, all most of the owners from the professional teams are there. Goodell was there. Ran into multiple people that I know from all over the country in a room full of 30,000 people.
How are you running into people you know?
I ran into our shout out to Bron from the founder of
really?
Believe Network. Ran into Bron.
Oh yeah, hey Bron.
Hey Bron.
Seriously.
Hey Bron, how you doing? So
there's only 30 million people here, but yeah. Oh hey dude,
you follow me? So then the headliner act is Tim McGraw. Okay.
Oh yeah, one of those unknown,
another country guy, but you at least have heard of him.
Most certainly.
And we're literally 15 feet away from him. And it just has this weird feeling about, you know, I remember thinking the whole weekend, I thought, all right, I'm really on the right track, right? Like everything is coming together. And then I remember thinking after I was at that party, and so it's getting close to the end, you can feel like the ride's getting close to being over. Right. I remember thinking, wow, I am farther than I thought in life, but not as far as I thought. Do you know what I mean?
You know, that makes no sense at all. And it also makes the most sense of anything I've ever heard in my life.
I know. I've said it 50 times. And sometimes it makes zero sense. And sometimes
it makes perfect sense.
Okay.
Because I think a lot of people feel that way. Even if they're doing really well, it's still like, yeah, but.
Yeah. You might think you're. And so it goes to my concept I think we've talked about before, which is, you know, one man's ceiling is another man's floor. Yeah. And never is it more obvious where the biggest sporting event on the planet, where you get to see the different social levels of, you know, for fame, success, you know, money, whatever.
Right.
Where you, it took me 12 hours. I was depressed when I got home for at least 12 hours. And then I looked at my wife and kids and I thought, I'm not depressed at all.
Right. Richest man in the world.
Yeah. And you know, money is definitely not everything. And that's just something losers say.
Right.
just kidding.
Well, it's not everything, but it's really awesome.
Yeah. No, money's not everything, but I'd rather die in a mansion. Okay. So exactly. let's just make sure we're on the same page there. Okay. So moving on to some actual analysis of the game. So I end up sitting, you know, I had a couple different seating options. I end up sitting really close, you know, to the, I took in the beginning from a higher vantage point, took in more of the game from, you know, fifth row on the 10-yard line by the Patriots bench.
Wow,
and
nice.
Lots of people, I'm sure you don't know this, but again, I've said that too many times. I'm going to try and stop that. Everyone said that the game was boring. Yeah, but anyone that knows anything about football really would know that that game was anything but boring. And I will tell you why. So you have two of the most prolific, the Rams were one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL this year. And the Patriots were very, very good the whole season. Right. But the Rams were definitely prolific almost every game. They scored 3 points.
Yeah.
The Patriots, who have multiple times scored 40 plus points and thrown touchdowns and scored touchdowns after touchdowns, they only scored 13. So even though I'm a quarterback at heart, I'm a quarterback with a defensive mind, and you cannot appreciate defense enough to know how much, like, you need to know defense and really love it and love football to appreciate that game. And anyone that knows football knows how hard it is to stop those teams the way they did.
Right, right.
You know, you think about it.
Yeah.
And everyone says, you know, offense wins games, defense wins championships. Proven again.
Right.
Right? Proven again. It's not accurate all the time, but proven again in this game more than anything. But even though the Rams, like, people think the Rams played terrible and they clearly lost the game and got outplayed and outcoached, when you have a game that close that has that little of scoring.
Right. How can you make that statement? Right?
Every single play is important. And every single, you know, in a higher scoring game with so much back and forths, then you can't really say things like that was a play that lost the game. Well, you know, well, we scored another five times.
Right.
In this game, there was multiple plays in unison in progression that were the most important play by far. And I'll give you an example. The one of the Rams receivers was going down. It was 10-3. The Patriots were winning in the fourth quarter, like 4+ minutes left. And they're going in to score. They had made some nice plays. You know, the total offense was not that much skewed. Also, which again indicates a good game. And Goff threw a perfect pass. The quarterback for the Rams threw a perfect pass. And Cooks dropped it, but it was also a good play from the defender. If he catches that pass, it's 10-10, and there's 4 minutes left, and that Super Bowl would have been considered the greatest Super Bowl. Whatever happened from that moment on,
right,
that would have been the greatest, right, Super Bowl of all time, even though, right, it was the lowest scoring Super Bowl of all time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because what happened next was Goff threw an interception. The Patriots went down, used up a bunch of clock, kicked a field goal, and everyone said that was boring.
Right.
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 But if you know football and you watch football and you appreciate football in the inches, the game of inches that it is,
right,
that was literally, if the safety from the Patriots, and I forget which exactly guy it was, it might have been Chung, doesn't knock that ball out of Cooks' hands, it's the greatest Super Bowl anyone's ever seen.
Right.
That one play.
Right. A couple inches one way or the other.
Yeah. And so many other plays were fantastic. And I'm a huge fan of Julian Edelman, who won the MVP, by the way.
But you make such a great point, which is if the Rams played terribly, how did they hold the Patriots back for four quarters? They scored, 13 points?
Yeah.
That they must have been playing. The Rams must have been playing amazingly.
Exactly. And I haven't gone back and watched the whole tape because I recorded it because I didn't get to see obviously every play, entertaining and hanging out with everybody. But I would imagine when the Rams watch that game back, they're going to be super sad. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But one thing I will tell you that I wasn't surprised by the way that Sean McVay acted, but one of the first things he said getting interviewed, the head coach of the Rams, is he said, we got outcoached. And to a certain extent, yeah, I agree with that. But back to your point, like, well, if the guy would have caught the one pass and you would have won, no one would have said he got outcoached.
Right.
So, you know, you're taking it on the chin and we appreciate that. But, I mean, not necessarily. Right. You know, it wasn't like night and day you got outcoached.
No.
And everyone is giving that point just because he said it and he threw it out there. But I would argue, to your point, you don't even know anything about football. There you go.
Right.
It was a 13-3 game, the lowest scoring game in history, two unbelievable teams. They both coached extremely well.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes, he got outcoached, but not by a lot. You know, so, and when you say things like, yeah, I got outcoached, it gives the impression that you sucked.
Right.
And I didn't like that from him. And if I ever see him, I'm going to try and give him a little boost. Not that he's going to need it. All right.
Yeah,
so
poor guy.
I did have money on the game though. I was rooting for the Rams. Remember, I bought them at 15-1.
Oh yes.
So I lost like $2,800, or I didn't win $2,800, even though, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't lose that much, but I would have won $2,800. But then I have such a man crush on Tom Brady, as I've mentioned before. I know people listening either love him or hate him, but you know, he's
what are you going to do?
I mean, he's just
so dreamy.
He's the best. So anyway, so before I get into to the last segment, I want to make one more comment about the whole Super Bowl smash, because we're getting late on time here. So on the flight home, I'm sleeping for a little while, sitting next to this guy. I take a little nap. I wake up. It's a decent flight, direct flight from Atlanta to LA. And he starts talking to me. He's a writer in Hollywood. He has done some stuff you and I have heard of. And he makes a comment to me about, and I told him, oh yeah, I started reading again. You know, we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I love to read, blah, blah, blah. He goes, do you ever read while you're listening to the book and follow along, but speed up the audiobook? Okay.
Interesting.
And I was like, man, we're at 35,000 feet. You're freaking me out here.
Right.
What did you just say? And he goes, no, you got to listen to it at 2 times the speed.
Okay. But follow
along. The words. And then he made the comment. Then he was a quirky writer, right? You know how writers are, right? Mm-hmm. They're unique, mm-hmm. right? They're different. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not athletes.
They're not. No.
So, and he says that, and I tried it. Holy shit. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
In the way he brought it up, it has a piece of, it's almost like learning an, he described it as learning another language. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you learn another language or you read in another language, it's similar to that sort of phenomenon.
Yeah.
Where you know, things are not exactly the same as English, but if you can understand another language fairly well, then you kind of get
you can
what
start to write.
Yeah, but it's also a little different than what you and I think of when I read an English book, right? If I was fluent in French.
Right.
So it goes faster, so you have right. to keep up faster, and you have to almost go back and read a little bit of the sentence before. As you're still listening, it pushes you almost. It pushes, in my opinion, it pushes your mind like an athlete would push his body getting ready for a game.
Interesting,
and I love that.
Yeah,
you know, I love that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and hopefully our listeners can appreciate that kind of thing.
That's very interesting because one of the first things they say when you're trying to learn to speed read is to not. I don't know the term for it, but not read in your brain, not say the words in your mind.
Yeah, just like look at
just
pieces
look
of
at
words.
The words and look at the sentences and kind of just sort of accept them.
And,
or
and that's the reason why
so
I was listening.
Is that what
to
part
him.
Of this training is? Is sort and of
that's exactly what he said. I,
moving
and I,
in that direction.
And I said to him, I would love to be able to speed read so that I wouldn't have to spend so much freaking time.
Right.
Right. He's like, well, this is the first step. I think he's like, I don't know. I'm not a speed
I've
reader.
I've never heard that, but it sounds,
it makes sense
work.
To me. If I can train my mind to follow the, or maybe you can't, I don't know. All right. So anyway, enough about trying to speed read. I'll let you know how I do on that in a couple weeks.
Please.
But so I want to move into the last segment and introduce something new. It's called Brooklyn's Bridge. So, you know, as you know, our oldest daughter, Brooklyn, and I wanted to bring her in, but I felt like having her on the show would be, you know, all of a sudden take away from, you know, the edginess, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't want to not give her credit for coming up with the Brooklyn's Bridge, which is going to be allowing us to cross over. You get it?
Brooklyn's
to the last
Bridge.
Part of the show.
Sure.
For the last part yeah. of the show. We hope you stay here because afterwards, now you're going to know.
Nice.
You follow me?
I'm following
She didn't make all that up. I made up the rest. But as soon as she said Brooklyn's Bridge, I was like, done.
Ding.
Done.
Right.
So, okay. So moving on. Remember at the beginning or finishing up. Sorry, not moving on. Finishing up.
Yes.
So as we remember, the pause laws are, we're out of the pause laws.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We did all seven.
Mm-hmm.
As a recap, keep a positive attitude at all times. Don't forget to pause and reflect. Always position yourself for success. Never play possum. Everyone needs some apostles. Remember a round of a pause and feel the pause and effect. So before I move on, my whole point of when I've been talking about the universe, I was feeling the pause and effect.
Were you?
Over that Super Bowl smash. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. All right. So remember how I mentioned Cruz for Congress earlier?
Mr. Robert Cruz.
Yes. So Mr. Robert Cruz is a lifelong friend. I met him when I was in a second or third grade. He's a year older than me. And when I say he's a 5 foot, 10 and a half Puerto Rican from Chicago, he's probably 5'9" and a half.
Mm.
But he was my quarterback mentor from the time I was in third grade throughout pretty much my whole playing career. But he was a year older than me in the Pop Warner program, and we had a fantastic Pop Warner program. Shout out to the Mustangs. He and I actually got inducted to the Hall of Fame recently, and we both gave
we both gave
a great speech. He read his speech though. I actually gave mine off the top of my head. So we can maybe we'll get him on the show later. We can ask him what he thought about that. But when I say that this guy, friend of mine, molded me into the football player, quarterback / person that I am today, besides my parents, anyone that's closer to me in an age, he's molded me more than any other human on the planet.
Wow.
And I will never forget him taking me under his shoulder, his arm around me when I was in fourth grade and he was in fifth grade, telling me not like things about how to run an offense or how to like make a handoff. You're in fourth grade. He was talking to me about leadership and motivation and shit that you don't talk about in fourth and fifth grade.
How does he know this in fourth
because
and fifth
he's
grade?
An old soul.
Yeah.
Right? He's just an old soul and he's a unique human being. So when I say he's running for Congress in a metropolitan district in Chicago, I mean it. We don't know exactly when, but so we came up with, so we were asking him, you know, what's your tagline going to be? You know, so, I mean, this, we're talking about this guy almost died of cancer in his late 20s.
Oh, wow. Right? Really?
So he's got that sort of that second take on life on top of the fact that he's one of the best human beings on the planet.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
So we asked him, what's going to be your tagline? And my buddy Tori and I, and he goes, Cruz, vote Cruz. Why not? And Tori.
That's the spirit.
Yeah. And Tori and I look at him and we think, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
So Tori, after a few minutes, comes up with a awesome idea. And this gets into the end of the show, as you know. Like, okay. I ramble, but I always get to the
point.
You
always stick the landing.
I end up, yeah, I always get somewhere. So Tori just kind of looks at us. And this was at the Run DMC concert, by the way. And he looks at us and he goes, Cruise for a Cause. And it was like Run DMC stopped the music and like looked it over at us and said, that's it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was the coolest moment ever. And I immediately remember it. So like, and he's fine. I'm not trying to steal it, Tori's thunder or Robert's thunder, but I've always talked about pause for a cause. So Cruise for a Cause and then pause for that cause. Right.
Right. Right.
And I can't wait to help make this guy, become a congressman, because he's going to become a congressman.
Yeah.
And then he could easily become a congressman. And then after that, who knows? Okay.
Right.
Barack Obama was a single term senator and became president. Mm-hmm. You know, Donald Trump is president. Okay. Look at who the Democrats are going to be throwing out there. Okay. Like, right. You know, like, come on.
The
right?
CEO of Starbucks.
Yeah. CEO of Starbucks right. is actually probably thinks more alike than all of us. Right. Mm-hmm. He's the one that thinks like most of the country, right. But he's not all the way that way or all the way that way. Right. So heaven forbid he would win, because right. why would we have someone that thinks like all of us?
No.
That would make no sense.
Yeah. We need an extremist.
Yeah. Like, I mean, just because I don't want to have late term abortion
right.
doesn't, and I think that gay people can get married. What does that make me?
A wackadoo.
Yeah. Like, well, exactly. That makes me like everybody else.
Right. Exactly.
All right. So, but the point of that was, In bringing back the concept of Cruise for a Cause. So, you know, I'm in sales, you know, you all have to sell yourself. Mm-hmm. And throughout the weekend, there was times where I had fantastic connections with people. And there was times when I could have been talking to a brick wall, you know, and when you think about, you know, in the sales process or getting to, you know, to know people more. And remember, when we've talked about this in sort of the, you know, the buckets of life, and sort of slowing yes. it down a little bit
yeah.
and getting more involved with the day-to-day, like not so much what's on your phone type of shit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have found over the time, over my years, that, you know, giving back, you know, it will only help you go forward, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, wherever you're with people, whatever you're going to do and wherever you are, but focus on where you're giving back and you will get back. Does that make sense?
It doesn't make sense. It's one of those things that I hear people talk about every once in a while, and it sounds so counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But I hear it over and over again. It's got to be true.
Right? I feel like it is. And that's the whole point of Cruise for a Cause, Pause for a Cause, whatever. Meaning that it's like when you hear someone say, what can I do for you?
Right.
Most of the time, that has a sarcastic, what can I do for you? You're like, well, I don't know. You yeah. can stop being an asshole.
Right.
But when you take and you say, you literally say, what can I do for you?
Right.
You know, and that's like finding a cause.
Right.
And just giving that. It doesn't matter what it is. I tried to be on a board of directors for a private high school for 4 years. I tried to give as much as I could, but it wasn't necessarily ready for me to be given all of it. And they weren't ready to take me. You know, yeah. But I feel like if you focus on that more, and besides the fact that I'm tying it back to what happened at the Super Bowl and the fact that this right. could, this is the actually the coming out party for our buddy running for Congress.
Right.
So, like I said, give back and see what you get back, period. So anyway, oh, wow. I told you that was going to be, I felt like that was a great show, but I feel bad.
I don't know how you survive these weekends, by the way.
Well, you know, a lot of good rest.
Yeah.
I don't drink hard alcohol. That helps, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm sorry it was a little long, but like I said, Dan, we had a lot to talk about. And
you had a lot to give.
I had a lot. You know what? Your timing is good. Your timing is good. So have a great rest of your morning, afternoon, or evening. And remember, when you keep a positive attitude, something's always brewing, baby.
Corey Pons is back at quarterback now. Throws in the end zone. Gets it away. Deep down the middle.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.